All right, everyone, welcome to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 2. My name is Michael, otherwise known as Magus113 on GameTavern.net. And today I have Eric and Xantar. Guys, introduce yourselves.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I've decided today that I'm going to record this like I'm an IGN editor. So that means I'm going to be really loud, I'm going to talk really fast all the time, and I'm drinking.
Sweet.
Probably
drop an F-bomb somewhere too.
I'm Eric Deedle, and if you want to look me up in the forums, it's very simple. It's E. Deedle is my name.
All right. Well, gentlemen. Sorry about that. All right, guys. Well, we have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about today. First off, we have our on tap segment, where we're going to be talking about new summer movies. Let's see. We got a bunch of new summer blockbusters that we got lined up for us, starting off with the all too hopefully amazing Iron Man 2. We have Ridley Scott's Robin Hood, MacGruber, the final Shrek movie, supposedly. That's what they said last time. What else we got here? Prince of Persia, The A-Team, Karate Kid, Jonah Hex, a comic book movie that I'm kind of looking forward to, strangely.
Toy Story. Gladiator 2.
Gladiator 2.
Known as Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah. Gladiator 2 or Masters of Apprentices and Blade Runner, or God knows what. That's what it looks like to me. And then we got The Last Airbender, Predators, Inception, the new Christopher Nolan movie, and The Expendables, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which another comic book movie I'm excited for, and The Sorcerer's Apprentice. You guys got any interesting input or opinions on any of these big name movies?
Okay, so this is one thing I asked on the forums, and I don't know if you guys have answered it, but one thing I've been curious about is which movies are you going to definitely see, regardless of any reviews, which ones are you definitely not going to see and not even going to bother reading reviews, and which ones are you going to bother to read the reviews, and that's going to make up your decision on whether or not to see it. So, like, for example, Iron Man 2. I'm going to see it.
Oh.
It really doesn't matter what the critics say.
Right.
I'm probably going to end up seeing it anyway.
I'm definitely going to agree with you on that on Iron Man 2, although apparently not many people are liking it. That's kind of strange, I find, but, you know, to each their own. That's a critic's review. I always have my own personal opinion. I think
buzz sounds like it's pulling a Spider-Man 3. Too many plots, too many villains, or something. I don't know.
It doesn't seem that way.
Thoughts are that, yeah, I mean, for critics, it's probably very comic book plot oriented, having like a lot of craziness going on. So for like a standard film review, that might be unappealing. But for fans like us, I think it's going to be great.
Well, but let's be serious here. Come on. A lot of comic book stories are pretty stupid.
Exactly.
But I mean, that's what makes them fun. I mean, you look at like these crazy popcorn action flicks like Shoot 'Em Up, or, you know, or the first volume of Kill Bill. Like, those things are completely, like, they're just out of this world. There's no way they could be realistic, but people sit down and like, oh, you know, holy shit, that was awesome, even though that can never happen ever in my entire lifetime that we know.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that Kill Bill is kind of a parody of, is a parody of martial arts films. I mean, it's even got people who call themselves the Crazy 88, even though there isn't 88 of them. I think Iron Man 2 takes itself kind of seriously.
It's got a suitcase that turns into an Iron Man suit. I think there's going to be plenty of winks and nods and fun along the way.
Well, you know, I actually didn't know this, but apparently he had that suitcase in the comics, but he actually had to put it together himself. It didn't just kind of assemble itself like that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm actually very excited about Toy Story 3, obviously. Actually, down here in Miami, they did a cliffhanger screener of the movie, where they showed like the first hour of it or something like that, and then they just chopped off the ending, which I found completely pointless. I didn't end up going to see it.
Yeah, I didn't go to that either. They did one in Boston as well.
I've heard
the final 20 minutes are like so touching that I don't know, like, if that's like the most beautiful part, I was like, ugh, then to cut that out might make it feel especially lacking.
So basically, Disney Pixar was acting like douches.
Probably. Well, let me tell you, again, if anyone knows how to, you know, bring tears to your eyes, it's Pixar, man. Some of the stuff that they've been pulling in the last couple of movies that they've put out, some pretty, pretty serious stuff. Obviously, you know, you go to the movies with the little kids and the little kid, like, for example, that beginning montage in Up, I had gone to see it with my ex-girlfriend at the time and, you know, she was bawling at the end of it. And all the little kids were like, oh, you know, where's the talking dog? Ha ha ha. You know, they missed that kind of stuff. But, It could be great.
So Toy Story 3.
Yes.
Seeing without reading critic reviews. Yes, yes.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
But the odds of that getting bad reviews are hilarious, I feel like. Pixar doesn't really do that much wrong in critics' eyes.
It's true.
Yeah, very true. Although I'd have to say their weakest movie was probably Cars. I own it and I watched it. Not really for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Prince of Persia. What do you guys?
I am. Go ahead.
Oh, that'll be based on a review for me. I'm not sure.
I definitely agree with that.
Yet. Yeah, if it gets good reviews, I'll check it out. But otherwise, I'm not feeling it at the moment.
I'm hoping.
Here's the thing.
What's up?
So. Prince of Persia was, I got excited when I heard about it because it was one of the few games that I think could actually make a good movie. So, You always hear about these people saying like, oh, they should make a Halo movie. And I just always, I always hear that and I think, wait a second, the story of Halo is stupid. And if you weren't actually playing it, it would be completely boring. And Bungie has even admitted this. They said that the way they develop stories by, they make up levels, and then they say, okay, what story can we come up with to give us an excuse to go through these levels? That's literally how they do the stories in their games. And that's fine for a game. But most games are not going to make good movies because you're not playing them, and their plots are just not that great. Prince of Persia does actually have a pretty good story that would have worked as a movie. At least I think so.
Mm-hmm. Like they design the plot, you know, like they have the whole plot laid out and then they make, you know, the certain locales for whatever's going on. And then, okay, we'll throw in some fights here or there, but you know, there's something behind all of that, it probably could work really well. Are they going to translate like the whole time traveling or time slowdown aspect kind of deal into this movie? I haven't really looked much into it.
It seems like that's the case based on the trailer. There seems to be some slow motion, some rewinding going on. I don't know how much they'll play it up.
The only thing that gives me concern is this is the people who made Pirates of the Caribbean, which, good first movie. After that, it kind of got a little long.
It got really convoluted. Like, I remember I fell asleep when I went to go see the premiere of the final movie. And I actually watched it again, I want to say about 2 years ago, and I think it wouldn't have made any difference to me. I was still lost.
I read the Wikipedia entry for that movie. I read the plot summary, and by the end of it, I was just laughing so hard. I couldn't understand what was going on. It was like, and now they cut out his heart, and his father, who used to be against him but now is on his side, is helping put his heart into the chest, and now Johnny Depp's character is on everybody's side, and there's actually multiple copies of him walking around. And at that point, I thought,
there was that whole ridiculous thing, I think, where they tried to swing the boat upside down or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was retarded.
Very strange. That my personal opinion is that producer Jerry Bruckheimer tends to finance a lot of really cheesy, giant blockbuster movies and not really focus too hard on making them good movies and more just cast great actors, likable actors, likable actresses, and kind of just get everyone to fill in the seats in the theaters rather than entertain them. So that's just a personal opinion of mine, but so it has me worried that he's behind Prince of Persia.
It's pretty valid. I mean, I honestly never saw Jake Gyllenhaal as the lead character, for example. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No way. Let's see. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. You guys know what's going on with that?
I have no idea what that story is.
Okay, well.
What is Scott Pilgrim versus the World? Can somebody summarize?
Scott Pilgrim is a series of comic books. It's about, Scott Scott Pilgrim. He's the member of a band called Sex Bob-omb, and he falls for this girl that delivers Amazon packages to people's doors named Ramona Flowers, and he likes her a lot, and he really wants to date her, but the problem is she has 7 crazy ex-boyfriends that he needs to fight and defeat, and they're all like ridiculously overpowered. It's completely contrived, but it's actually a lot of fun to read, and from what the trailer looks like, it seems pretty it seems like they could do it some justice. The only thing that bothers me is that Michael Cera is playing Scott Pilgrim, so I don't know if I really want an awkward teenager, you know, the whole awkward teenager thing going on for Scott's role, which is kind of what he is, but I mean, he's a little cooler than that, but I'll go check it out without seeing.
So it's not a superhero story?
No, not exactly, no.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can go with that.
It's also, I believe, someone can check me on this, but I believe it's directed by the guy who brought us Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, which are 2 fantastically fun movies.
Okay, now I'm sold.
So, yeah, I trust him.
I mean, the trailer I saw looked pretty legit, like I said, so I'm not, you know, completely throwing it out. I'm definitely excited to check it out. Yes, directed by Edgar Wright.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and apparently he's also going to be directing Ant-Man in 2 years. How do you like that?
Ant-Man.
Okay.
Oh, man. So I had a question. I had a general question I wanted to ask you guys about comic book movies. All right?
Sure, go ahead.
I ask it. So, Iron Man 2, if we believe the reviews anyway, and it's still early, and, you know, like Roger Ebert hasn't put out his review yet, so it might still be good. But if the reviews turn out to be correct and Iron Man 2 is actually not as good as the first one, I was thinking about this. This might be the first time that a comic book movie sequel was worse than the first one. So like, think about it. The Dark Knight was a better movie than Batman Begins. X-Men 2, better than the first X-Men movie. Spider-Man 2...
Well, personal opinion, obviously. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I mean, obviously, it was nowhere near the third one, but anyways, keep going.
Not hugely worse.
Yeah, definitely.
Spider-Man 2, probably just as good as the first one. Maybe some people think better. Probably.
I think better. I'm on that boat.
Yeah. Batman Returns, probably better than the first Batman. Superman 2, I think a better movie than the first Superman movie. Because there was no stupid fly around the Earth clockwise and that turns time backwards. You know, nothing stupid like that.
Yeah.
So, comic book movies, their sequels are usually pretty good.
For the most part.
I guess Fantastic Four probably not so much. So maybe that's the one exception. But why is it that comic book movie sequels always turn out better than the first time around? And why might that not be the case this time?
I think it's definitely more of a thing that they have more input from people. I mean, you go into a project like that and you have good or a decent amount of source material and you can take that and work it however you want, but it's still up to the critics and still up to the crowd to determine how good the movie's going to be. So if there's stuff that you put out and people say, oh, you know, there's this and this wrong with it, then they're obviously going to take that and try and improve on it. Or maybe try and find like a better villain or a better, you know, or a better story from the comics to take from. Like that, the thing that bothers me kind of about Iron Man 2, for example, is that, Mickey Rourke, he's playing Whiplash. And I think he's more of a minor kind of villain in the Iron Man, comic book, you know, universe. And it seems kind of strange that they would go with him, but maybe it's because, you know, they have all the other stuff going on with Black Widow, and you know, they have a War Machine in there, so there's more to there's more to work with. But I'm sorry, I kind of strayed off. But that, I think it all kind of goes back to the fact that, you know, they made their mistake once, they figured that they could try and do better the second time around.
Well, oh, so Mickey Rourke is playing Whiplash?
Yeah, he's playing Whiplash.
I totally thought he's Omega Red.
No, he's Whiplash.
I don't know why.
No, that's...
It does look kind of like Omega Red.
Yeah, it seemed like it, but no, I'm pretty sure it was Whiplash, because I looked it up as soon as I saw it, and I'm like, holy shit, that's Mickey Rourke, what the hell is he doing there? Let's see, back to more movies. Anyone know anything about Inception? I know that it's another Christopher Nolan movie, And I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, he's got the whole crime drama thing down. We can definitely see that with The Dark Knight, because that, as much as that was a comic book movie, it was also a crime drama. But any thoughts, opinions? I might wait to see a review on that. I might.
It looks like it might be a high budget, like blockbuster type of, like Memento type movie. Seems to have a lot of weird, like, plot, like way of telling the story and laying it out, and seems like the trailer has like a city like folding in on itself, because like all within somebody's mind, people are like running up walls and over ceilings and things. So it seems to have a lot to do with like the human brain and crime, how it relates to that, and telling the story through that kind of window. So Memento, which is one of his Christopher Nolan's great earlier projects, has a lot of similarities of that, I feel like. So it could be some like a great kind of movie like that, but with a bigger budget.
And kind of like The Prestige. Also a movie with lots of flashbacks within flashbacks and turning in on itself.
I don't think Christopher Nolan's made a bad movie. Can we all generally agree on that?
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. That I've seen.
Let's see. The A-Team.
Okay, I gotta say, What's with all the cartoony mercenary movies all of a sudden? The A-Team, The Expendables, and The Losers? I mean, come on. Really, it's like that time a couple of years ago when all those Ant movies came out at the same time. Have some originality, Hollywood!
Well, yeah. I think the thing with The Losers was that it's all part of this, you know, comic book movie buzz. I haven't read The Losers, and I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to go see it. Like, maybe I'll wait for, like, it to come out on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, download it, and, you know, I'm all the happier. But I think that's just part of it. I think that comic book movies and 3D are becoming these big fads in Hollywood, but I would much more like to see comic book movies stay in the movie theaters instead of this whole 3D post-processing bullshit.
Actually, I'm being a little bit unfair to The Expendables. The Expendables is not a cartoony mercenary movie. It's a movie which is it's just an excuse to put Sylvester Stallone, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jet Li, Jason Statham, and the
Bruce
action
Willis?
Hero from the, well, Bruce Willis is in there too, but there's the German 80s, the guy from the 80s. I'm gonna kill myself when I figure out his name. Hold on.
IMDb is magical for a reason. Anyway.
But it's an excuse to put together like all the old washed out action movie stars together. That's really what it is.
Well, I'm sure that if it wasn't, you know, old washed out action movie stars, then it wouldn't have a title that would be so fitting as The Expendables, but you know.
Dolph Lundgren. It has Dolph Lundgren.
Why do I feel I should know who he is?
You probably don't, but he was an action movie star from like the 80s, around the same time as Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's the Swedish Arnold Schwarzenegger, all right?
Gotcha.
He has the accent, he has the big muscles, but strangely enough, he actually has a degree from MIT.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Okay. Who else is pissed off that Jackie Chan is playing Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid? Can I just throw that out?
Jesus. I'm pissed off they're making The Karate Kid movie.
Well, there's that, but I mean, if they're going to do it, can they at least try and do it right? I mean, come on, Jackie Chan's not even remotely Japanese. Stupid people will believe this, but I don't. I know better.
Yeah. That and Will Smith's son as the kid, who I've yet to see do a very good acting job in anything. He always gets great reviews for his acting, but I never really find myself agreeing with that.
I honestly can't say I've seen him in a movie, and maybe I have, and it was probably something minor, but nothing really comes to mind. Although I had heard he did well in The Pursuit of Happiness or whatever, but I never saw that movie. I wouldn't care to. I'd rather poke myself in the eye with an ice pick, but... let's see. What other stuff do we have thrown in here? MacGruber!
Twilight 3, you know what? Sorry.
No, go ahead, man.
Twilight 3, I'm not interested in Twilight 3 at all, except that if it does well, then that means they're going to make the fourth Twilight movie. And that is going to be awesome! In a train wreck kind of way, but still kind of awesome. Do you guys know the plot to the fourth Twilight?
I don't know anything Twilight related.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay, okay. So you know that is basically about a girl meets vampire, right?
Yeah. And the werewolves and whatnot.
Right, right. So in the fourth book, she gets pregnant, and the whole giving birth scene is absolutely insane, because first of all, she has sex with him for the first time, you know, ever in the entire series. And apparently he's so strong when he's having sex with her that he knocks her unconscious. And she thinks this is great. She tells him to do it again. And knocks her unconscious again. And so then she gets pregnant. And then it turns out that she now has a half vampire baby inside her, which is growing too fast and is going to rip her apart from inside. Oh, and by the way, this baby can already think. It's telepathic. They can read its thoughts, and it's saying, "Oh, don't let me kill mommy. I love mommy. Don't let me kill her. Please get me out of here." So the vampire bites open the girl's stomach. You know what? I probably should have given a spoiler alert, but what the hell?
Yeah, who cares?
Bites open the girl's stomach in order to, you know, so we've got vampire C-section.
Yes.
And then the baby comes out. And then they have to, you know, turn the girl into a vampire so that she doesn't die from the C-section.
Oh,
and everything's all hunky dory. Oh, and then the werewolf imprints on the baby. So in other words, the werewolf sees the baby and says, "She's gonna grow up and be my wife."
Nice.
I really want to see them make that into a movie, and I really want to see the actors doing that without breaking out into laughter. I'm pretty sure it's going to be hard.
I'm sure it is. All right, let's see if we can get a couple more in here before we move on to the next topic. MacGruber! I saw an ad for it yesterday. I went to the movies. I went to see Death at a Funeral, which was actually better than it looked. Let me just get that out of the way. MacGruber, supposedly the funniest SNL movie since Wayne's World and the best action comedy movie since Beverly Hills Cop. That's kind of a stretch, I would think. But I saw the trailer, and I might go see it after a review.
That's actually a movie I'll see. I'll see that movie despite any reviews, because it reminds me of a movie that came out a couple years ago called Hot Rod that was also, like, similarly had an SNL cast and didn't get very good reviews, but in my personal opinion is, like, hilarious.
Was that? Oh, that was the Andy Samberg movie or whatever.
Andy Samberg stuntman movie that just looks so bad. But when you watch it, you just realize that I guess they just didn't care about like pleasing any studio conventions or whatever, and just made like the most hilariously dumb movie ever. And so I hope that MacGruber can continue that tradition. So despite what reviews say, I'll definitely check it out and hope for the best.
I think SNL movies were kind of on a decline. Like, I know they hadn't made many of them, but I remember the last really good SNL movie or movie with SNL cast or written by these people was probably right off the top of my head, Mean Girls. That movie was actually really fucking funny.
That was really good, but that wasn't an SNL skit. And I think that the problem is an SNL skit is they take an idea, right, and they turn that one idea into the basis for the whole sketch. And that's actually the problem a lot of people have with SNL now, is that they take a joke and then they kill it by just repeating it over and over again. And I, you know, to be honest, I saw the MacGruber sketch. It was getting old right around the 2-minute mark. I don't know what's going to happen when they stretch this out to 70 minutes or however long the movie is.
They did one too many of those MacGruber sketches. I've seen a good portion of them, and yeah, the joke does kind of wear thin. It wouldn't work well as a movie, but I don't think many SNL skits in general have been really good. I remember the Debbie Downer one being actually really funny a couple years ago, if you guys have seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was mostly funny because it was cracking everybody up.
Well, there was that, and I mean, some of the stuff that she said at the right timing, you know, whatever, it all worked out.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, but either way. Last movie before we move on.
I'm sorry, can I say, about MacGruber.
What's up?
What happened to Richard Dean Anderson? Dude!
I couldn't.
What's he doing? Get him away from the hamburgers!
I guess you're gonna have to go and beat some sense into him yourself. That's
Excuse me. This is my childhood we're talking about. He was the man when I was 6 years old. And now I look at him and I was like, that's him? That's MacGyver? What happened?
Well,
anyway, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But you know, it happens. Some people, they stay good looking all their lives, and then some people after they have their, you know, their 15 minutes of fame, they just kind of crumble and fall apart. But it happens. Anyway, last movie before we move on, Shrek Forever.
Oh God.
Yeah, I might wait for a review on that one too. I was very about the third one. I think two was really, really good. Like, one was good or great. Two was awesome. The third one kind of wore thin. And I was kind of hoping it was the last one, but you know. What are you guys going to do about that?
Yeah, I just don't see a reason to have Shrek back anymore, you know? Like what you said, one was good,
I do.
Two was good, three was not good. It seems like I'd just hate to see another bad Shrek movie. I'd rather have fond memories of him.
Eric?
Yeah, man.
DreamWorks has very good reason to make the movie. It has hundreds of millions of good reasons to make that movie. You know it.
From a cash perspective, yeah.
Well, I mean, elaborate a little more on that. I mean, I'm trying to see your reasoning, and I guess I can understand it if you gave me an example. But I'm still very. I told you, I'm very on the fence about it. I mean, the cast is always great. That's never a problem.
I'm just saying they have no reason to make it. It's just gonna make money. If they can make a sequel to Sex and the City, or even better yet, if they can make a sequel to the original Fantastic Four movie, they can make a sequel to Shrek the Third or, you know, Shrek 3D.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a great, I know. Well,
doubtfully will it be worth watching.
Well, I guess we're going to have to leave that up to the critics and, you know, word of mouth to decide.
Yeah.
All right. Pure rap music ain't made under pressure. Expose a jewel, teach school at my leisure. Fumble over words, then rhyme with a verse divine. I'm backtracking, think of the greatest of all times. Okay, so we're going to move on to our second segment, which is our question of the week. And as pulled together by our good buddies over at Game Tavern, our question is, the Activision / Bungie merger, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Xantar, go ahead and...
No, it's not a merger, actually. It's an exclusive worldwide partnership for a 10-year alliance to develop one, that's just one, property. So this is also at the same time that Activision is basically killing Call of Duty. At least in my opinion, they're basically acting like dicks. And so Bungie, you know, I'm a big fan of Bungie. I'm a Mac user. I remember back in the days they used to develop games for the Macs like
Marathon. Myth,
Marathon. Oni, I thought was pretty good.
Oni was very good. You had to kind of get past the kinks, but I remember Oni being very good too.
Yeah, so it sounds like this is going to be a little bit of a better deal than Infinity Ward got, because they're going to Activision is not going to actually own Bungie. They're not going to be able to call the shots. They're just basically working as they call it a partnership. For what it's worth, Activision is going to be publishing whatever Bungie comes up with, and if it's any good, then, you know, it's good for both of them, and if the game flops and there's only one game, then for that 10 years, they're just going to be sitting there staring at their contract,
well,
I guess.
Wasn't that the way that it originally started with Infinity Ward and Activision, that they just kind of, they pitched it to them, and they were like, alright, well, we'll take whatever it is that you want. I think the biggest problem with, I'm very much so getting, a little angry with Activision and the way that they do, and they're starting to do their business. I mean, they're turning into EA, where they take the franchises of other people, they consume them, and then they say, "All right, well, we're just going to call the shots." Which is what I'm going to go out and say, I don't think Infinity Ward was definitely in the wrong with, or at least the head execs were in the wrong with doing things the way they did with with Call of Duty. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been on the record from the CEO of Activision. I can't remember his name now. That, I mean, he's a dick. He is a huge douchebag. But
yeah, I mean, didn't he go to E3 last year and say like we want to be hands off the way we develop games is we leave the developers alone and then this happens.
Yeah, I mean, come on. How are you gonna say shit like that and then just completely go back on your word, try and completely consume this franchise that they give in part to someone else to just completely muck up? Like, I mean, I don't know how big you are on playing, you know, Modern Warfare or World at War, but I mean, World at War was very much so inferior to Call of Duty to Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, obviously, in a lot of ways. I mean, that started back with Call of Duty 3 as well, which is the only game I think that the only Call of Duty game I think that's been console only, I guess, because it was just that bad. Because I've never heard any good things about Call of Duty 3. I have yet to play any of it, but I don't. At least on contract, the deal is better for Bungie than it worked out with Infinity Ward, because I'm sure that Activision probably took some kind of loophole that they worked out and said, okay, well, you know, we can do this, so we're gonna take your franchise and just kind of do what we want with it, kind of let you do your own thing. But if Bungie has nothing to do with Activision in the sense of, you know, they just own this one franchise, then, you know, more power to them. I don't think Bungie has put out a bad game or a terrible game. I mean, there was Halo Wars, which definitely wasn't a huge success compared to ODST or Halo 3, for example. Like, it wasn't bad. It wasn't amazing, but
it was a good try for an RTS on a console.
It was a good try. I mean, definitely better. I heard a lot more good things about it than I have with like the Command and Conquer series, which had a couple of console soirees, I guess you could put it. Right. It definitely wasn't great, but I mean, it had no reason to be bad. I mean, Myst 1 and 2, I should say, were RTS games, so it's not like Bungie knew how to make, they didn't know how to make a good RTS.
Sorry, old stickler here. Myth, like mythology. Myth, not Myst.
No, that's what I said.
You said Myst.
I said Myst, it probably sounded like it, but no, it definitely Myth. I did say Myst, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't even want to get started with Myst. The only reason they're making money is because they keep releasing it for every console alive. And it's the same exact game, either way. Yeah.
So what do you think the game is going to be?
I honestly don't know.
Not a first-person shooter.
I'm going to guess not, because wasn't that kind of what they were going to try and do with Infinity Ward before things kind of went sour with them? They were going to put out this new thing that wasn't going to be it was going to be a third-person shooter action adventure or whatever.
Modern Warfare third-person action adventure. It's going to be Zelda with guns, I guess.
Zelda with guns. Okay. Well, didn't they try a third-person thing in Modern Warfare 2? There's like a third-person mode, but it's only like 3-on-3 or some shit like that. It probably wasn't anywhere near as good as.
Oh, you know, I didn't even try that.
I haven't either, and I don't know if I ever will. I might get curious one day. I just recently got Modern Warfare 2. But it could definitely be a third-person shooter. Now,
Oni was kind of a third-person shooter.
Which one?
It's just that it was Oni.
Oh, very true.
It was kind of a third-person shooter.
Kind of.
It's just that it was more fun to punch people.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess we kind of have all of our bases covered, I guess. Or their bases covered as far as what they could do. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to put out like an RPG or something like that. No way.
So prediction for posterity, so that people can come back and laugh at us later when we're totally wrong.
Okay, right? Sure.
I'm gonna say that it's gonna be a medieval theme because they're probably sick of sci-fi, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna say that it's not a shooter of any kind because they're probably sick of that. So I'm gonna go with beat 'em up.
That's a pretty interesting speculation, which they could do since Oni is kind of a beat 'em up if you do just go around kind of punching people. It's not, you know, constant. It's not like, you know, Bayonetta or Devil May Cry. You know, definitely not like a hack and slash beat 'em up thing, kind of like that. Could it work? Maybe. Those kinds of things can work if they're done right, you know, like what's it called? Like, what's this franchise? Dynasty Warriors. Dear God. A dollar for every one of those games that they can put out, and you know they're only entertaining. They're only entertaining after a certain point. So if they're gonna do something, I mean, if they have these 10 years, they definitely better make good use of that amount of time, because if they only get whatever, if they only have the efforts to make one game in those 10 years, then they had better take the time to make it something good. Because, I mean, it's not like they can, because one, yeah, okay, if they have enough time, they can come back and do something even better, but, I mean, that's royalties, and that's, you know, a lot of big money that could come to them. So, I don't know. I'm still definitely kind of on the fence about it. I mean, like, because, like you had mentioned before, I mean, it's not like they own them, but you don't know how much access Activision has to go in and say, yeah, well, we're going to publish this and we don't like it, so scrap it. Because I know that EA or Activision or these people have said that they're very, they like to put out stuff that they know they can make more money from in the future with with future sequels, right, and whatnot. So,
do you know if the game is going to come out on the PS3? Could Bungie get the first game on PS3? Could Sony get the first Bungie game in years?
Well, yeah, in years, because Oni was a PS2 title. That could be it, definitely, especially if you want to look at it from the point of Activision wants to make money now. The problem is, does Bungie want to port the source code and the engine to whatever it is that they're doing to the PS3?
Right, that's a good point. They might not even know how to develop for the PS3.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely in no way, shape, or form similar to the PS2. I mean, I think the biggest issue with developing on the PS3 is the fact that people just don't want to take the time to learn it, or that it's too much money or whatnot. But it could essentially be the first PS3 game that Bungie could throw out. And good thing about that is if they develop for it and they like whatever capabilities they can get from it, it won't be the last. They just have to get the people. They just have to get the people to develop for them, because I don't believe Microsoft owns Bungie. Last time I checked, not anymore. Which is probably the reason why Activision was able to take them and say, "Oh, you know, hey, let's do this." But
Bungie wanted to avoid the rareware status.
Yeah.
Those guys, I'm so sorry for them sometimes. And then I look at the games they put out and I feel less sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of shitty. Everyone was looking forward to having GoldenEye and Perfect Dark on the virtual console, but I'm sure those ideas were scrapped a long time ago. I can't remember the last good game that Rare put out. I mean, in current gen consoles, we're talking, what, Perfect Dark Zero and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, right?
And Cameo Elements of Power.
Oh, was that a, that was a,
that
no,
that's
was
not
a,
current generation, sorry. That was
yeah, that was, that was an Xbox title, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely, I think even though, like, programming or coding for each console, like, it has their differences. I'm actually pretty convinced that for the most part, the consoles are actually pretty similar in performance. Like, there's things that the PS3 can do that other, you know, that that the 360 can't. I'm sure of it. I mean, people just have to know how to get into it. But as far as like basic multi-console, multi-platform releases, there's not that much for them to be afraid of anymore. It's just now the problem is it's a bigger deal with who wants to flesh out more money and get exclusivity rights, you know?
Right. I just hope they don't do anything in 3D. Please, Bungie, nothing in 3D.
Is there? Well, I think the only game that's been released that has like any kind of 3D capability was Avatar. I think Avatar, they actually had an option for you to play the game in 3D if your TV supported it. I saw that in a review somewhere. And it wasn't like red and
blue. So everybody plays it for an hour at a time?
I would imagine. I couldn't sit through that for very long, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, really.
3D games, I mean, we're talking about something that definitely, I remember the first time I heard anything as far as 3D gaming. Let's see if you can test your gaming knowledge. 3D World Runner for the NES. Do you you remember that little monstrosity?
That was a red and blue lens one, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It had a 3D mode that was optional. It was red and blue. And actually, check this out. First game developed by Squaresoft back in the day.
No, I did not know that.
Yes, it was. I believe in Japan it was definitely developed by them. But that was the first Squaresoft game. If anything, the first one for the NES, if you can believe that.
Right.
Yeah, so definitely that wasn't good. And I mean, I've seen a video of what it looks like in 3D, and it was not... It was not a fun time. But my biggest problem with 3D in video games or just 3D in movies is just it's so expensive. I mean, it doesn't like the for example, the what's it called?
Another $3 on your ticket, basically.
Another $3 on your ticket. For your home theater, it's another $2,000 to $3,000 for the Samsung TVs that support that now.
Right,
and it's
right.
And it's not like it even has like real 3D that you can just sit in your house and, you know, just watch it and it'll be in 3D. No, you have to wear the glasses for it. And the technology's super expensive. I'm getting kind of nervous about the 3D with gaming though, because I believe the most recent PS3 update, I had gotten the update after they did the one that killed the Linux for the PS3. And then there was this other one last week that when the Uncharted DLC came out, I had to update again. And I put it on and it was like, oh, you know, 3D, this update will enhance the capabilities for 3D in the future. And I mean, I'm sure that's not only for games, that it'll extend to movies as well when they start releasing them, because funny story, Avatar on Blu-ray isn't in 3D. They're going to be releasing that next year. So, you know, screw you to whoever decided to go buy that and think that was a good idea.
Right.
But, I'm really, really scared that that's not gonna be coming our way, you know? And I did lie, by the way. 3D World Runner is not the first, Square game on the NES, but it's the first one to release American shores, I believe.
But it was developed by Square?
Yes, it was. And there, actually, there's another one called King's Knight that was released for the Famicom that came out here as well. That was from them. Okay. And I've never played that. But either way. We're straying off topic.
Yeah, I mean, we can. That would be a good topic for the next week.
Definitely
3D.
3D, good idea. Good idea or bad idea? I guess that's going to be the basis for our questions of the week. But back to Activision and Bungie. I definitely see it going both ways. It's a very big gray area for me. I mean, it could be great. It could be fantastic, because especially if Activision's not going to have their word in it, it could be awesome if Bungie has all the rights to whatever it is that they're going to do. But it could also just be really bad. I'm going to say possible good, possible bad.
Do you want to make a prediction about what it's going to be?
Yeah, that's right, because I didn't do
posterity?
That. I definitely see it being... It'll probably end up being a third-person shooter. I think the market for casual gamers is definitely steered towards shooter games, because, one, they're quick. They're easier to flesh out an online component for people that want to be playing games online. I mean, it's definitely not going to be the next Modern Warfare. I don't think it could be. I don't think it will be. That's definitely ground that they shouldn't be treading on. But, you know, they could get pressured by Activision to do so. But I'm definitely going to say third-person shooter, not necessarily a military-based one, but it could be maybe post-apocalyptic. They can stay in the whole sci-fi range, but it could be something post-apocalyptic, or, you know, like very pre-apocalypse kind of something in the Gears of War range, but not as intense with the whole apocalyptic setting, because, you know, you're running around and everything is fucked up, everything's destroyed, all that kind of stuff. I could see them doing something like that.
Okay, so listeners, I guess we should say Eric is out. He'll be back for the third segment, but he's just stepping out for a second because he has to do something. Anyway, so that's our predictions. I predict a medieval themed beat 'em up, and Magus 113 is saying a third person shooter, post-apocalyptic. Those are our predictions, listeners. Come back and laugh at us when we're totally wrong.
Yeah, because chances are we probably will be. Because if I knew how video game companies were going to be making money, I would have been working for one a long time ago instead of my shitty IT job. But, whatever. It pays the bills. Either way, good idea, bad idea. I'm going to steer more towards a good idea. The whole post-apocalyptic third-person shooter thing has definitely been, or third-person shooters in general have been done right, especially when you look at the Uncharted franchise and Gears of War. So it has potential to be done right. So I'm going to say more of a good idea. Only time will tell.
I'm going to agree with you. I think that Activision doesn't have the clout to boss around Bungie because Bungie is big enough that they could probably have just said, you know what? Screw you. We don't like your terms. We're going to EA. Or we're going to Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. At least they haven't gotten completely poisoned by money yet, but I think that's also because they haven't put out enough franchises to merit mass amounts of money-making like Activision and EA have in the recent years. But
yeah, we'll see what happens with Splinter Cell. See what happens if that gets big and then they start to pumping out sequels to that.
Well, they've, pumping out sequels on such a regular basis, because I have yet to finish the first one. I'm actually trying to do that right now, because I have a laptop that'll actually play games. How about that? And so I play that on occasion. So I've heard that they've been generally very good. I think the only one that was very hit or miss was Double Agent. So, we'll see where that comes from. I think the other problem is that they have issues with, Michael Ironside. Like, he's getting very, reluctant to keep doing these roles because apparently it's getting a little too political for his taste, which, I mean, you're working for a video game company, you're just doing a voice role. I don't know how that should reflect on you, your character, your political views, but I digress. I'm straying off topic.
Yeah, but it's Michael Ironside. He can do whatever he wants now.
It is Michael Ironside. Michael Ironside can say, you know what, fuck you guys, I'm gonna go do something else, grab some other guy that has nowhere near as awesome a voice as I do to be Sam Fisher, and he's not going to kick anywhere near as much ass as he will in the past. So, sayonara, you guys. I'm done with you. But apparently they catered to him a little more this time with the plot. You would think that, like, video game voice actors are, they're not very, what's it called? Like, they wouldn't get too involved. But apparently, I think Michael Ironside is one of those character actors, though, that, like, he stays in character even in between takes. So I guess it's nice. A little more, yeah, it seems a little more serious for him. That could be a potential topic next week too. Video game voice actors and, how popular they are, because I do see a lot of recurring ones, and I'm going to definitely have to do some IMDb research on that, because that's how I find out where most people come out of.
Oh man, wouldn't it be great if the Kratos voice actor was in character all the time? After he's done with a taping session, he would just go out, "Where's lunch?"
Have you seen him?
Bring me meat now!
I mean, not. I don't want this to sound racist in any way, but he looks like a pretty evil, menacing black dude. Have you seen that guy?
I actually never have.
Well, I've seen the making of videos, and he looks like he could get pissed off pretty quickly, especially when you see him in character when he's in the recording booth. So I highly suggest a YouTube video search of the voice actor. And by the way, the voice actress for Gaia is as old as you think she is. So be forewarned. All right, we're going to move on to our final segment, Cocktail Chatter. And now we're just going to have everyone talk about anything interesting, anything new, anything weird. Xantar, go for it, buddy.
Okay, so the story I've got to talk about is Virginia. I live in Maryland, okay, so near the D.C. area. But okay. So that's right next door to Virginia. The Virginia State the Virginia Attorney General, a guy named Ken Cuccinelli, really conservative type, apparently. He's so conservative that when he handed out little campaign buttons for his staff with the Virginia State Seal on it. You should go look up the Virginia State Seal. It basically has a picture of a woman who is supposed to be the goddess of virtue or something, standing kind of triumphantly with a spear. It's classical art, so she's topless.
Stepping on a man, apparently.
Yeah, stepping on a man. And honestly, her breast, there's nothing there. I've seen men with bigger breasts than that. For all I know, she could be a man. but Ken Cuccinelli was offended by this, so he when he passed out those campaign buttons, he put a breastplate on the goddess of virtue, because you wouldn't want the little kiddies fapping off to the state seal. Not like they can go find free porn anywhere else.
Okay.
So anyway,
yeah.
That's what's going on in Virginia. It's pretty hilarious, and that's my cocktail chatter for the day.
Let me see. Apparently an NBC reporter stated, or he was quoted as talking about the seal as saying that it looks like she's performing in a Super Bowl halftime show. That's not a low blow. I mean, geez. Well, I mean, how honestly, it's not like there. You go to. I'm sorry. Well, here's a good example. What about what about kids that see, like, I don't know, the drawings on the roof of the Sistine Chapel? There's totally a guy hanging there with his dong out, and they're like, oh no, that's art, but it represents Adam and man and whatnot. But that could matter to a lot of people because maybe they're not religious or they weren't raised religiously. So some people are obviously going to take offense to that. I mean, it's art and it's portrayed, by however the artist wants it to be. So
actually, in one way, Sistine Chapel could be worse than the state seal. It really should be worse. You know why?
It should definitely should be.
I was thinking because all the models Michelangelo used were men. Oh, even the female figures in there were actually men standing there posing. So yeah.
Well, wasn't it like rumored or something, or they kind of confirmed it that he was gay at any rate?
Maybe.
I think that's what the deal was. But I mean, not
chapel, big giant ceiling full of cross-dressing men.
And we got a guy that's up in arms about someone that might look like a woman, we're not entirely sure, with a boob out. That's what everyone's up in arms about.
It seems like if you're not down with that image, then don't put it on a button. Don't change it and put it on a button.
Yeah, I mean, put something else. This was for like a campaign or something that he was putting these out for?
A new lapel pin,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's completely ridiculous. Nothing to get up in arms about. Eric, let's go with your story. What do you got for us, man?
Okay, so I don't know too much of the information because, like all good apocalyptic situations, it's hard to get information, but I guess a water main, a giant, like, the only water main, exploded at some point over the weekend, and it brings water into the city of Boston and, like, the surrounding towns. So a emergency warning has gone out telling us not to drink any of the water because we will get sick. I guess they're pumping in from reservoirs that do not get filtered or cleaned. And if our pets have drank any of the water, we should immediately take them to a emergency room because they might be severely sick. But the water is okay for bathing and washing your dishes, which is hard to comprehend. But so it's been termed on Twitter the aquapocalypse, which I think is a wonderful term for the situation. And it's a great state of being for someone who is moving out of college like tomorrow and has had no access to water or showers, because I don't trust the you can shower thing. So yeah. It's kind of fun.
You're in a shower. How easy? Like, I mean, not that everyone goes around sitting in their showers drinking water in the half hour, like the 15 minutes, the half hour they're in there. But I mean, come on. You're going to tell someone that water's unfiltered and it's okay to bathe in, to clean yourself in?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you could get it in your eyes even, too. Like, forget about getting it in your mouth,
So basically you're just saying is that, I mean, if you wear a mouth guard, put on some goggles, get in the water for like, you know, 5 minutes and then cover yourself up in cologne and deodorant and then, you know, hats off to you, enjoy your day.
Yeah, really. What's the point of showering if it's, I think one of the chiefs of police or whatever described it as, along the consistencies of lake water. So, like, I don't find the idea of showering in lake water that great anyway, but I'm not even, not to be like very, conspiracy theory or whatever, but I'm not even sure if they're coming out of reservoirs that haven't been cleaned, like, who knows, like, lake water seems a little tame. There could be anything going on in that water. I'd rather it just be cleaned.
Yeah, especially if it's unfiltered. Like, you know, what if it's, well, I mean, I'm sure it's not like unattended, but what if there's like tepid water? And no.
Exactly, yeah.
No way. And I'm sure there's going to be people that are stupid enough that they're going to be like, oh shit, you know, I really need a nice glass of water. They're going to go to their sink, pour something out, and then, you know, that's how, and then
wait,
they're in the hospital.
Have you been to Boston?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, very few people
the last,
in
like,
Boston
3 years.
Drink water from the tap. They always run them through a Brita filter or something. People in Boston know better than that.
Well, I don't. Well, yeah, I guess I don't know any. I don't know.
Yeah, but brushing your teeth and everything, Aaron, it's just, at least at college, you don't have access to Brita filters or anything, so we're kind of stuck with the tap water.
Well, do they have, like, all of you guys just running over to supermarkets and buying ass loads of bottled water and then just kind of making do, or what?
Yeah, the school is actually doing a pretty good job of, providing, lots of bottled water and, like, gallon jugs of water, too. So it's become pretty available, but it's still an odd situation to be living through.
Have they been giving you, any, like, kind of time frame as to when that's all going to be done for?
I think they haven't because they don't want to admit how long it's going to take. I'm not actually from here. I'm from New Jersey, but one of my roommates is from the area, and he said something like this has happened before, and it took, like, a few weeks. The closest I've come to a confirmation is someone on the police staff or the water reservoir team or whatever said, could be a few days, so I don't actually know, but I'll be long gone out of here by the time they fix it, I'm sure.
Sounds about right. So you're in Boston for school. What school are you going to?
Emerson College, studying film.
Nice.
Yes.
I got a friend of mine that's going up there for grad school now.
Oh, yeah, it's a great school.
Yeah, so I've heard. I haven't seen the Emerson campus. I usually go to visit another GT member, Take Giant Steps. He's my buddy Gio up there. But I'm actually going up there. Next week. I'm leaving on the 11th. I'm going to be there up there for a week for his commencement, and then I'm going to be coming down. So maybe we can meet up.
Sure. Yeah. Cool stuff.
Awesome. Anyway, let's see.
Public service announcement from Game Tavern.
Exactly. Anyway, let's see. So my story of the day. Let's see. I don't know how awesome you guys might find this, but I think I would very much like my life to be, you know, like a comic book for one day, or as close as it possibly can be. Can we generally agree on this?
You did 100% see Kick-Ass, right?
Yes, I did see Kick-Ass, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't want his life though.
Oh no, definitely not. But obviously, in this little story I got, it's a little more controlled. This was actually up on Game Tavern, but I found the story very interesting. A little 13-year-old named Eric Martin in Seattle, he apparently was diagnosed with liver cancer, and the Make-A-Wish Foundation said, well, we'll grant you your wish, and he said, I want to be a comic book hero for the day. So they worked with the city of Seattle, and they set up an actual like comic book, an actual comic book caper with villains and henchmen. So that he could fight against. He walked around the city. Yeah. His name was Electron Boy. And his vehicle, I think they put him in a limo or something like that, and they had like a huge motorcade that was driving around Seattle, and like everyone was staring and pointing, like, oh, you know, who is that? And then, you know, the kid's little sister was walking around like, oh, it's Electron Boy. Let's see. There was a trapped worker, apparently, they had set up. And apparently Dr. Dark and Blackout Boy were still at large, and Electron Boy got a tip that the evil duo were at the Space Needle, where they had disabled the elevator and trapped people on the observation deck. So, that's what it was. They put him in a DeLorean. His motorcade was a DeLorean. Nice. A DeLorean and 25 motorcycle officers. So they drove him in the DeLorean over to the Space Needle to get the trapped elevator working, actually fight and defeat Dr. Dark and Electron Boy, and the police actually got them in cuffs and sent them away in a police car.
You know what? I'm looking at the story now. My favorite part of this is that they got his sister to shout out the window when he arrived and go, "It's Electron Boy!" That's just awesome.
That is really great. I have cystic fibrosis. I was diagnosed with it when I was born, so I actually had the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They actually wanted to grant me a wish when I was like, I think I was like 7 or something like that. And my wish wasn't anywhere near as elaborate as this, but they actually, you know, they kind of go out of their way to make sure that you get what you want. I wanted a huge purple treehouse in my backyard. It was 2 stories, and the bottom floor was a sandbox, and it was built around this huge tree that we had in my backyard. And, well, I've moved out of that house since. But it was great, and I would have, like, sleepovers and all kinds of stuff. They did, like, a huge news story. So, I mean, it took them a couple months, but, yeah, man, they did it. So I guess they're very serious about how they want things to be done as far as their wishes go.
That is awesome.
So, it was awesome, and I mean, that's how cool is that? I mean, the kid, like, they got an interview with him, and I mean, he says that it was the best day of his life. I mean, there's not many kids that you can say that had that, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, tier, he's gonna pass soon, but definitely a good way to go out, if you ask me.
Agreed.
Public service announcement from Game Tavern: give to the Make-A-Wish Foundation because they are awesome.
They are awesome. Like, I mean, this is one of many things that I've seen them do that's, you know, that's really, really great. And they do this stuff all the time. Like, I mean, and I've had I think the big deal with me was that I was the 1,000th wish for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So they asked me to go and talk at, like, some dinner or something, you know, X amount of years later. And I met a bunch of people that had stuff done for them through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I really wonder, like, I'm pretty sure for the most part they're nonprofits, so I'm sure they get a lot of people to send in donations, but donate. Lots of good things happen for, you know, good people that need it. So yes, donate. Public service announcement.
Definitely.
All right, guys. Well, I guess that's all that we have for today. So I'm going to say that it's been a pleasure to do this with you guys, and I look very forward to doing this again soon. This is Magus113, and I'm going to sign out for tonight, guys.
All right, and this is Xantar.
This is Eric signing out.
All right, guys. You have a good one, and we will see you next week.
All right, awesome.